Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, 12 November 2023, Romans.
And by the way, whenever it's Veterans Day weekend, why, I love to have all of you who served in the military wear your uniform, if you still have it, or if you can still wear it. Now, I know Gary Brown can still wear his. Do you still have yours, Clay? And it looks really nice where it is. Yeah, no, it's I love the nation we live in. I love what that flag stands for. And I love all those heroes that many of them gave the supreme sacrifice and gave their life so that we could be here this morning. Be here this morning in freedom. Worship the Lord Jesus Christ in freedom. And I always remember that, and I know you do too. All right, as we continue on in... As we continue on in our study of the doctrine of the sin unto death, we were looking at case histories of believers who have faced the sin unto death, and we saw King Saul, 1 Chronicles 10:13-14. There was another king that faced that also, but he recovered. He rebounded. He got into Isaiah's Bible class and grew up in Isaiah's Bible class, and God gave him 15 more years, and he didn't die the sin unto death. So that's King Hezekiah. So turn over to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And this was in the time of the southern kingdom, Judah. Isaiah was God's servant, fantastic servant that was teaching the people that they had to turn back to God and turn back to the Word of God. And the Hebrew word was the same word we're studying in Joel, shuv, repent, change your thinking. Change from negative volition to positive volition. Change from arrogance to humility. Turn back to God and His Word. And Isaiah kept teaching and teaching and teaching, and there was a tremendous spiritual revival. And the southern kingdom turned back to God and His Word. And they were right on the verge of the fifth cycle of national discipline. The five cycles of discipline are taught in Leviticus chapter 26. They were right on the verge of being destroyed through military invasion, the military invasion of the Assyrians led by Sennacherib. And Sennacherib brought the Assyrians down, and they had Jerusalem all circled and on the verge of destroying them as the client nation of God. But a great spiritual revival had been taking place through Joel, through Isaiah. Many unbelievers came to Christ for eternal salvation. Many believers turned back to God and His Word, and they were delivered. And you know all about the delivery. And the Lord Jesus Christ came in one night, and 185,000 Assyrian soldiers were killed in one night. The nation was delivered, And Sennacherib took the military back home to Assyria. Well, the king at that time was Hezekiah. Look at Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord. Woe to those who carry out plans that are not mine. And that was Hezekiah. Hezekiah was carrying out plans that were not the Lord's plans. Forming an alliance, but not by my spirit. Heaping sin upon sin. Who go down to Egypt without consulting me. Who look for help to Pharaoh's protection. To Egypt's shade for refuge. But Pharaoh's protection will be to your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. So King Hezekiah had an evil foreign policy. And that evil foreign policy left God totally out of it. God had nothing to say about it. He went to Egypt for help. And that was Isaiah 31 to 3. But as a result of the teaching of Isaiah, he repented. He repented, he changed his thinking, he turned back to God and the Word of God. There was a huge spiritual revival. And God, at this point, God put him under maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. And that's over in Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38, verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order because you're going to die. You will not recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord. "Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully." This was a part of his result of his being in Bible class with Isaiah and repenting. "Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, "Go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, said. I have heard your prayer and have seen your tears, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria," that's Sennacherib. "I will defend this city." So as a result of the spiritual revival, as a result of turning back to God and the Word of God, well, his prayer was powerful and effective. And he was recovered from the sin unto death. So Hezekiah rebounded, got back into fellowship with God, and was given more time to live. The third case in the scriptures of the sin unto death is the incestuous Corinthian. The incestuous Corinthian. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 5. This is a believer in Jesus Christ. He was at one of the churches. There were many churches in Corinth. It was a huge city. He was in one of the churches in Corinth. And he was involved in incest. And nobody in the congregation thought it was a big deal. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not occur even among pagans. a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? Even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit, and I have already passed judgment on the one who did this, just as if I were present. When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan. And that any time, now by the way, I just want you to relax. I cannot hand you over to Satan. So you can be relaxed on that. But apostles could do that, and that was for the administration of the sin unto death. When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan for the sin unto death, maximum divine discipline, so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved in the day of the Lord. Now, this was the administration of the final stage of divine discipline. But when that took place, the incestuous Corinthian rebounded, got back into fellowship with God, changed his thinking, turned back to God and the Word of God. He wanted to get back into a sound Bible teaching church. He wanted to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. But now the congregation wouldn't let him back in. So turn over to 2 Corinthians 2. Now they wouldn't let him back. And he's recovered. 2 Corinthians 2. This is the incestuous Corinthian who has recovered. He's rebounded. He's back into fellowship with God. He wants to get back. He wants to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. He wants to get back into a sound Bible teaching church. But they weren't letting him in. Verse 5, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 5. If anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent, not to put it too severely. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him. Now, instead, you ought to forgive him and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow, grief. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. Impersonal love. Impersonal love. This is virtue love. Personal love for God the Father that motivates impersonal love for all, and impersonal love for all even means a person who was totally operating in Satan's cosmic system and placed under maximum divine discipline, but now he's recovered. To reaffirm your love for him, impersonal love for all. The reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. If you forgive anyone, this is impersonal love for all. This is virtue love brought to completion in your heart. I also forgive him, and what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we're not unaware of his strategy. So the incestuous Corinthian was placed under, he reached the final stage of divine discipline, sin unto death, but he recovered. Now, fourth case, case number four, Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 4. We're going to start in Acts chapter 4 at verse 32, because in verses 32 down through 37, we have an example of a spiritually mature believer who understands totally the doctrine of giving, that it's grace giving. This is a spiritually mature believer. He is living the spiritual life. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart, and he is not only he gives graciously and with generosity. He is a winner. He gives graciously and with generosity. So this is first, because when this kind of thing, like this believer, went on, there were some other people that were not living the spiritual life. Rather, they were living in by their sin nature. They were living by the lust patterns of their sin nature. They were living out of fellowship with God. They were living in Satan's cosmic system. So it starts out here in verses 32 to 37, we have the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and understanding that giving is grace giving and generosity. That's the first part. But then we're going to have a loser believer living the carnal reversionistic life and living in Satan's cosmic system. But first of all, the winner believer. Verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. This was grace giving and generosity. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need, to the needy and to the destitute. But it was all, this was all done from winner believers, grace righteous believers. They've grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. One of them was named Joseph. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas. Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that he owned and brought the money, and he put it at the apostles' feet. Joseph Barnabas is a winner believer. He is a grace righteous believer. He understands grace giving. And he is a very generous Christian. Now, starting at chapter 5, we have a loser believer. In fact, two of them, Ananias and his wife Sapphira. These are believers living the carnal reversionistic life. They're living out of fellowship with God. They're living by the lust patterns of their sin nature. They're living in the cosmic system. So, chapter 5, verse 1. Now a man named Ananias, and he saw this. He saw what was going on. He saw what Barnabas just did and how it was so well received by everyone. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself. Now, there's nothing wrong. If you sell some of your property, it's nothing wrong if you keep it all for yourself. And there's nothing wrong with keeping part of it for yourself. That's not the issue. It's making everybody think you've done the same thing Barnabas did, and this is all of it, when it's not. That's the deal. Some of you, the only thing some of you are going to get from this is, I'll be damned if I'm going to give anything to Upland Bible Church. I'll tell you that. I don't want them carrying me out feet first. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property with his wife's full knowledge. He kept back part of the money for himself, but he brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet, just like Barnabas did, telling them that he was doing the same thing Barnabas did. And then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men. He did lie to Peter, the apostle, but you have lied to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. That's the sin unto death. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in. Not knowing what had happened, Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. And a bunch of them that had property said, well, one thing, I'm not selling it. And if I do sell it, I'm not bringing it to Pastor Olson and putting it at his feet. That's the main thing. The fifth case history is Hymenaeus and Alexander. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And the Apostle Paul, he loved Timothy so, so much. Pastor, teacher, Timothy. Here's the Apostle Paul, but here's one of his students, one of his prized students, pastor, teacher, Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. Timothy, my son, my student, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to the body of faith. The body of faith is the Word of God. Holding on to the body of faith, the Word of God, and a good conscience. Some have rejected the body of faith, the Word of God, and so have shipwrecked their faith. And among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme, and that's maximum divine discipline. So those are the case histories of believers in the Word of God who have faced maximum divine discipline from God. So we all have a choice. When we came to that point of the grace gospel was given to us, and we responded and placed our faith in Jesus Christ, at that very moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God imputed to us the gift of eternal life. He imputed to us His righteousness, establishing a grace pipeline with His justice on one end and imputed righteousness in us on the other end. And that was the beginning. That's the beginning. That's not the end. After salvation, what? Now, we're not here very long on planet Earth. But after salvation, what? God has a plan for your life. Now you have a choice. Are you going to operate by your plans without God, without the Word of God, or are you going to operate by God's plan? God has a plan for you after salvation. It's the greatest plan ever. The plan that God has for you is absolutely phenomenal. The plan that God has for you means you can have Christmas every single day. And when you realize and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you will have Christmas every single day. You will have Thanksgiving every single day. And we're at that time of the year, Thanksgiving and Christmas. Most people spend a day, they have dinner. Some of them pray, some of them don't pray, some of them trying to figure out if they have anything to thank God for. There are so many things I have to thank God for that in my private prayers now, that part of my private prayers gets longer and longer and longer, thanking God. Thanking God for who and what He is. Thanking God for His sovereignty, His righteousness, His justice, His love, His eternal life, His omniscience, His omnipotence, His omnipresence, His immutability, His veracity. Thanking God for the unique spiritual life He's given us in this dispensation. Thanking God for all of the grace provisions, the universal indwelling of the Spirit, so that we can be filled with the Spirit. Thanking God for the royal commissions. We've been commissioned as a royal priest to represent ourselves before God. We've been commissioned as a royal ambassador to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And as you keep growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, then Jesus Christ becomes your life. As the Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ, and to die is profit. And when that is reality in your life, then you will have Christmas every single day, every day. You will have Thanksgiving every single day. And that's the best. Jesus Christ will make Himself at home in your heart. And with that, the other side of the coin, you share the happiness of God. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in America, you share the happiness of God every single day. That is the best. That's the best of the best of the best. You share the happiness of God and have Christmas when you're living. You share the happiness of God and have Christmas when you're dying. You share the happiness of God and have Thanksgiving when you're living. You share the happiness of God and have Thanksgiving when you're dying. Everything, whatever your situation, circumstances are, God's plan is so great. His grace and power is so phenomenal that this is reality. It's not just saying words. Anybody can say the words. It's reality. You have Christmas every day. You have Thanksgiving every day. And it's up to you. It's totally up to you. You have a free will. You can make good decisions to live the spiritual life after salvation. You see, when you believed in Christ, that's just the gun going off. The gun just gone off. That's just the beginning of a marathon, a spiritual marathon. And that spiritual marathon goes from salvation until physical death or the rapture, whichever comes first. You're in a marathon. So after salvation, what? Well, you're in a marathon. And you have a choice. You can make good decisions to live the spiritual life, or you can make bad decisions to live out of fellowship with God by the sin nature in the cosmic system. But it's up to you. One results in the sin unto death. The other results in grace righteousness, virtue love brought to completion in your heart, sharing the happiness of God. I hope you all choose for living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Make the good decision. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.